Go ahead, if you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and turn directly to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We'll be reading three verses, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus. And then you're going to get to Hebrews. James is too far. Chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. And as is my custom, I'd like for us to read the scriptures together. Just three verses. Okay, we're all ready? Let's read together. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. So what is written seen was not out of what was visible. Excuse me. We're in a series this year called Christianity with Answers, and we are now in part 3 dealing with evidence and faith. Each sermon is trying to answer a particular question that many people have towards Christianity, Christians included, who have towards their own faith. And the question that we'll be dealing with today, briefly, is, does science contradict faith? Does science basically make faith unnecessary? How can you believe in God and science at the same time? How could a modern, educated, reasonable, and scientific person believe in God or Christianity? It seems like it wouldn't make any sense. In our culture, not only in Japan, but in the world, it seems that popular media and culture in general likes to put God and science in these two separate places. Back in 2006, Time magazine put on their cover the words, God versus science. As if to say, there are two things that cannot work together. There are two entities that are mutually exclusive. Well, for most of us as Christians, we don't like to think too deeply on these kinds of issues. And we're tempted to give the simple answer, a very simplistic answer. Well, you know, science just answers how God did everything. There's no problem with me believing in God and seeing how science works. It's just, you know, science answers how God did everything. Question answered, case closed. And to one degree, I think that is an answer. But our theme this year is taken from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, that we are always to be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks us to give a reason for the hope that we have that is in us, to do this with gentleness and respect. And to do that with gentleness and respect means to give this question its proper due, to understand this question's intricacies and details, and to give it a little bit better question than just, well, it just answers how. And so I want to go over two misconceptions, two mistakes that we often make when trying to answer this question. The first is that faith, religion, is a way for us to answer things that science cannot answer. That's misconception number one. Faith answers questions that science cannot answer. misconception number two is that there is a different place in society, in life, in culture, for religion and for science, for faith and for God. And those two should be kept in their separate places and never be joined together. That's misconception number two. But let me go to the first one. Misconception number one. Faith is believing in what science cannot explain. Science takes us this far, and then faith will take us the rest of the way. It's a sort of the God of the gaps. You know, science can answer parts of the questions in life, and where it can't answer, God kind of fills in. When we can't answer how it's done, oh, then we just answer God. God did it. God does it. Now, there's a couple of problems with that. One is that many scientists are saying if that's how the culture sees it, then it's very simple. Science will soon eventually answer everything, and there will be no gaps. Therefore, there will be no need for God, because science is pretty much answering everything that needs to be answered right now. And it will answer all that needs to be answered, so in the end, we're not going to need God anyway. That's one problem. And basically, the second problem is that's just not a good way to think about what faith is. It's not a good way to describe faith. Our scripture says today that faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. Sure of what you hope for, certain of what you don't see. Where does faith come from? In another scripture, in Romans chapter 10, Paul says that faith comes from hearing the message. Many of us think that faith comes from this gut feeling. It's an intuition. You can't explain it, but that's the feeling that you have. That's how many people describe faith. But I don't think that that's what the Bible teaches. If you look at what it says, it is not intuition. It is not a gut feeling. It is not a chill in your skin. Faith, the Bible says, comes from hearing a message. A message. A message implies communication. A message involves intelligence. It involves reason. It involves order. It involves logic. Faith comes from hearing something that makes sense. Not just in our gut, but also in our mind, which God made. Faith is believing in something because it is reasonable. And there is evidence to support this belief. That's a better description of faith, and I believe that is a more biblical description of faith. Now let me get right to the core of this issue so that we don't get, you know, distracted with, you know, semantics and what does all that mean and this and that. We are in a church, and we're here because of one thing, the cross of Jesus Christ. We're here because of our belief that the cross of Jesus Christ saves all of us from a life of darkness, emptiness, and rejection from God. We're here because of our faith that the cross is the bridge between God and man that sin has caused to separate us. We're here because of our hope in the promises of God for eternal life and for a living hope provided by the blood shed on the cross. That's why we're here. And where does this faith come from? Is it a gut feeling? Is it an intuition? No. Faith is based on two things. If you have faith, let me tell you right now, you have faith because of two things. The first is authority. The first is authority. The second is evidence. When I have a problem, and I'm not able to solve this problem because I don't have three things. I don't have the knowledge, I don't have the qualification, and I don't have the skill to solve this problem. And I've exhausted all of my resources. What do I have to do? I have to go to somebody else. And that person who has the knowledge, the qualification, and the skills, they give me the solution to that problem. Now I take that solution and I use it. I put my trust in that solution. I put my faith in that solution. Not because I know it works, but because the person who has the authority knows it works. And I can put my trust in that solution because I have it on good authority. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So like if I'm sick, and I get sick very often here, I'm not a very, you know, I look strong, but if I'm sick and I do all I can to get better, I get enough sleep, I stay away from potato chips, I eat my vegetables, I drink my liquids, I stay home and get rest, and maybe I take some medicine from over the counter, and still I cannot somehow just get better. I'm still sick. I can't be healed. Well, what do? I go to the hospital. I go to the doctor. And what does the doctor do? He listens to my problems. He takes an examination, maybe takes some pictures. And he says, this is your problem. And based on his qualifications, his knowledge, his skill, he's able to look at me, diagnose my problem, and tell me what my solution is. And I take that medicine that he says to take. Not because I know this is good medicine, but because he knows it's the right medicine. And I have the solution to my problem on good authority. So what do? I take that medicine. And I feel better. And then the next day, what happens? I have the same problem. I get sick again. I have the same symptoms. But because I have a good doctor, he's given me some extra medicine just for this occasion. And so the second time I take this medicine, why do I take it? Why do I put my trust in it? The second time is because it worked the first time. And I have it on evidence that it worked the first time, so I'm pretty sure it's going to work the second time. Now, anybody here who is a scientist or has worked in the scientific community knows that is the essence of science. Science, the scientific method of forming a hypothesis, verifying it through experimentation, confirming it through observation, and then having it refined through criticism and reasonable exchange, the scientific method. The essence of that is basically saying, look, it worked this many times before. It worked 100 times this time. And so this 101st time, it's probably going to work again. And that is what we call action based on evidence. Action based on faith. Faith is action based on authority, and good faith. Now, excuse me. I may not have the knowledge that the qualifications, I don't have the knowledge, I don't have the skills or the qualifications to judge whether or not the event of the cross is a real event in history. I wasn't alive back then. I wasn't an eyewitness. But you know what? I have it on good authority from an eyewitness who saw it. And not only that, but can testify to having seen and touched and heard Jesus Christ who rose from the dead. And based on that good authority, I can act on faith. So what do? I have faith in the cross and in the resurrection based on the good authority. Faith comes from hearing a message that makes sense, that's reasonable. And then comes the substance, the evidence. I put my faith in the cross, I put my trust in the cross, and I place my life in the God, in the hands of God, whom I believe died on that cross and rose again and now lives in me. And you know what? My life is changed. My emptiness is gone. My bitterness is gone. My shame is gone. My confusion is gone. My despair is gone because I put my trust in the cross. And then guess what? When the emptiness comes back again the next day, what do? I turn back to the cross because it worked the first time. When the bitterness comes back again, I turn back to the cross. When the confusion hits me again, I go back to the cross. When I'm bitter, when I'm ashamed, where do I go? I go to the cross because it worked before. That's faith based on evidence. Faith is not a belief in what you cannot explain. Let me say that one more time. Faith is not belief in what you cannot explain. It's not there to fill the gaps that science leaves. The scientific method is what informs my faith. Science gives substance to my faith. Let's go to misconception number two. There's this answer that science answers the how, and religion and philosophy and faith answers the why. There's the illustration of, you know, you see a pot of water boiling, and you'd ask the question, why is the pot of water boiling? Well, the scientist will say because of the heat and the molecules and the time and blah, 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 and he answers how. And then, but if you ask a person who is making the pot of tea, he's saying, it's boiling because I want tea. He gives you the reason why. And that's what many people say is the relationship between science and faith. It's a very simple answer, and I think that's part of it, but I don't think that really satisfies a person who really cares about this question. I've lost my notes. But as we go to our scripture, it says that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And in verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. There's two things in red there. The future, and then the past. Faith, in verse 1, is our hope, our certainty of the future. But it doesn't just apply to what happens or what's going to happen in the future. Faith can also be applied to what we believe happened in the past. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed, past tense, at God's command. By faith, we understand that. I want to backtrack a bit. There's people who say that faith is on one side of the fence, science is on the other side. Faith is in this box, science is in this box. You keep your miracles and your God in this side of your life, and you keep the truth and evidence and practice on this side of your life. Don't let them cross over. Now, what is the problem with that? The problem is there's many scientists who make lots of claims on how we should live based on that evidence and why we should do it. And the second thing is a problem for us who believe in the Bible. The Bible makes all kinds of statements that say that's just not the case. There's a biologist, a leading atheist biologist, Richard Dawkins, says, look, when the Bible says a man walked on water, he turned water into wine, he calmed the storm by a word, he raised a man from death, that's not a faith statement, that's a scientific statement. He's crossing the line. And he's right about that. And he's not even a believer. So the problem is, how do we reconcile those two? Well, I want you to notice the blue part there. It says, by faith we understand. By faith we understand. What does it mean to understand? If I say, konnichiwa, do you understand? Okay, half of you, maybe half of you. If I say, まあ、科学のことはすごく難しいよね. Do you understand? No, none of you. Even the Japanese people don't understand. That's my bad Japanese. But to understand means that you took what came out of my mouth and you put it into your mind and you turned it into something that you knew. You took something that's outside of you, you put it inside of you, and now what's inside of you matches what was outside of you. That's called understanding. The gesture or the sign language for amen or I agree is this. It means what's outside and what's in me are the same thing. It means I agree. And that means I understand. I understand. That's what it means to understand, is what's inside of me matches what's outside. Science is this communication between God and man. By faith, we understand that the universe, the heavens, the earth, all that we know through our eyes, ears, mouth, nose, was formed by God. How do we understand this? It's through faith. Science is a communication that God uses to tell us about Himself. The more we study, the more we examine, the more we test nature, the universe, the world around us, the better we understand the God who wants to be in our life. That is the purpose of science in our life. We as Christians have no need to be afraid of science, the scientific method, or the scientific community, because it's on our side. Science is on our side of the team. They're playing for us. Because God is in that saying, look, all of this I've made is for you to understand who I am. One author put it, he said, the universe reflects the rationality of God. I like the way the Bible puts it in Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Science is a universal language. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. God is communicating through us, through His creation, and it is science that allows us to understand what He is saying. Amen. You know, I mentioned earlier that in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, Paul says, faith comes from hearing. That was Romans 10, chapter 17. You know what he says in verse 18, the next verse? He says, their voice goes out into all the earth, the words to the ends of the world. And where does Paul get that? Psalm 19. There is a message that God has for us. It is in science. It is in His creation. And to study it helps us to know Him better. That's the answer we need to give when we are faced with this question, if we're going to answer it seriously. Next week, we're going to take a look at the role of miracles. Do miracles refute science and vice versa? How do we make sense of a miracle in a scientific world? But that'll be next week. At this time, I want to transition as we go into our communion. It is our first Sunday of the month, And it is our custom here to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And as we do that, I would invite you to go ahead and turn, in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, celebrated the Passover feast with his disciples in an upper room. And there he washed their feet and he gave them encouragement. He told them what was about to happen. And then he explained that what they were eating and what they were drinking is not about a past, the past, but it's about what's about to happen to him the next evening. Yukiji, are you ready with that? Communion slides. As we go into that, I would invite you to please examine your heart. Examine yourself. This is a chance for you to restart, to press the restart button in your life, to recommit yourself again, considering his sacrifice for you. And the price that he paid for your salvation. Shall we read the communion scripture together? Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah.